take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 2. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read these passages responsively. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 5. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of earth set themselves, and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the Anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And let's finish together on verse 5 together. Ready? Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Lord, this evening we were reminded about the blood that covers our sins and that you shed for us. Lord, this morning we saw that blood take action with so many folks being saved and lives changed. And yet tonight we stand before you a needy people. And just because we've been forgiven doesn't mean we're still not sinners. Father, please help our preacher tonight as he thunders aloud against sin. May we realize the heart of love behind it. May we realize that a God of love wants us to be more like you. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This is the best part. We get to watch these guys put these microphones away. Are you guys going to whistle while you work? Thank you, Brother Lawrence. So far, you beat Brother Hawkins. Thank you, young people. Thank you very much. The title of the sermon this evening is this. Somebody needs to throw a fit. Somebody needs to throw a fit. Psalm chapter 2, verse number 5 says, Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Speaking of God. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18, it says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Jeremiah 17, verse number 4 says, And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger which shall burn forever. Notice that God here is reminding us that He is a God of wrath. Oh, He is a God of love. But there is another side of the coin. He is a God of wrath. Notice God's anger can be kindled like a fire. Notice there are times when God reveals His wrath. God is not always a lovey-dovey, soft Winnie the Pooh kind of a God. God ain't no wimp. You say, Brother Owens, that's not good grammar. I know, but it's good preaching. God ain't no wimp. God is not a Pillsbury dough God. Not at all. Not at all. Deuteronomy 9:19 says, For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. Hot displeasure? Wrath? No, God is able to throw a holy fit. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, Be ye angry and sin not. Psalm chapter 2, verse number 5 says, Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Here it says God gets angry. He demonstrates wrath and he talks about his sore displeasure. God said, I'm displeased with that. And you've hurt me and I'm displeased with that. Psalm chapter 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. There again we see God's angry at sin. There we see God calls it his hot displeasure. In other words, God gets hot under the collar about some things. Psalm 38, verse 1 and 2. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. Here the psalmist said, I feel like God just pierced me with an arrow. I feel like he shot at me with an arrow. Don't confuse God's goodness with weakness. Don't confuse God's love with Him being satisfied with sin. Oh, no, 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 my friend. Not at all. There are some things that God hates. People say, oh, God's got love. Oh, I agree. And I preach on the love of God here continuously and often. But the Bible also says God is a God of hate. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19 tells us, these six things doth the Lord hate. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Hey, the reason that men of God throw fits is this. They throw a fit in the pulpit because there are some things that God feels are worthy of a fit. God said there are things that cause me, God speaking of Himself, there are things that cause me to be kindled to wrath and anger and hot displeasure to the point of hating those things. Now, God does not hate people, and neither do I, and neither should you. But we ought to hate sin. We ought to hate the way of the world. We ought to hate the things that are corrupting our country and corrupting our society and corrupting our churches, corrupting our family, corrupting our young people. We ought to hate them, not be entertained by them, but hate them. Hey, listen, God threw a fit over the behavior of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
He threw a fit. Genesis 19:24, the Bible says, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. These cities were wicked. Believe me, if Sodom and Gomorrah were living in sodomy, there were all sorts of other immoralities going on. God was so disgusted with the sodomy in Sodom and Gomorrah, He threw a fit. Did you know something? You check through the Bible, and in most cases, when God wants to judge a city, judge a country, or judge a people, He uses their human enemies to do it. Why? Because those human enemies would be a little gentler. But in this case, God said, you kick me off. I'll take care of this personally. The Bible says that the fire and brimstone came down from heaven. It was directly from God, and there were not other human instruments used. God said, I'm taking care of this one myself. That's how upset God was with the sodomy. God threw a fit. Hey, Moses threw a fit. Moses threw a fit when God's people became backslidden, disloyal. They threw a wicked party with dancing and wicked music. Exodus 32, verse 20, it says, and he took the calf which they made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Here's the story. Moses had gone up onto the mountain to get the Ten Commandments from God. While away, Aaron, his assistant, led the people to be liberal. Moses is on the mountain meeting with God, getting the Ten Commandments on tablets. Now, Aaron's down with the people, and they liberalize. They start getting wild. God told Moses, as he's meeting with them there, God said, Moses, you better get back down there to the people. He said there, they have corrupted themselves. Moses, he started running down the mountain. He thought, I got to get back to the people because the people have done something that got God's attention, and God used the term, they corrupted themselves. While Moses had been gone, they had built a golden calf and began to worship a false god. These were God's people. A strong man of God was absent for a little while, and a weak man of God let them actually build a golden calf to worship. Oh, Moses came running down the mountain, and he could hear from a distance the people. They were partying hardy. They were dancing, and they were wild. And the Bible says it sounded as if there was a war going on. Sound like any kind of music you've ever heard? The Bible says in verse number 19 that they were dancing. In verse number 18, they were singing heathen music. The Bible says when Moses got to the bottom of the mountain, he was so frustrated, he took the Ten Commandments of God and he threw them on the ground and threw him an ever-loving fit. He ended up taking that golden calf. It would have been huge. A great, big, huge calf. He ground it to powder, put it in the water, and told everybody, come by and take a drink. It was Nesquik, made of gold. He said, drink it. That's how angry Moses was with the people for turning their back on God and living like a bunch of animals in the absence of the preacher. Jesus threw a fit. when some religious people turned the church into what he called a den of thieves. Matthew 21:12 says Jesus went into the temple of God and cast all of them out. It says here that he took a whip and he drove them out of the temple. Jesus had gone into the church and found that there were a bunch of people in there that they, if they were saved, and I don't think they were a bunch of liberals, uninterested in God, uninterested in what the church is really all about. It made Jesus so mad. He started, they were selling some doves and some sacrifices, and Jesus said, "You're a bunch of hypocrites." He grabbed their tables and started throwing them over. He took a whip and took them all on, and he drove them out of the temple. You see, he was very... Hey, Jesus threw a fit. Moses threw a fit. God threw a fit. The Apostle Paul threw a fit when some phonies spoke against the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Acts chapter 13, verse 44, 45, and 46 says this, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold." In other words, these people attacked Paul and Barnabas for what they were preaching, and Paul said, it says here he waxed bold. You say, what's that mean? He said, he got up in their face. He got up in their face. He got bold. He puffed out his chest and he said, Hey, you're not gonna tell me that I can't preach, thus saith the Lord. The whole city wanted to hear Paul preach. They'd come out. And these people, these Christ rejectors, were filled with envy. They spoke against what Paul preached. The Bible says they contradicted what Paul preached. They even blasphemed, meaning they said, this guy is not even of God. And Paul waxed bold. He threw a fit. And believe me, Paul was no mama's boy. He was not a limp-wristed reverend. John the Baptist threw a fit. He threw a fit over the immorality of his day. Mark chapter 6, verse number 18, the Bible says, "For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. That time a man by the name of Herod was king. Herod was sleeping with his brother's wife. John preached a sermon about it." Publicly. He said, "Herod, you're a whoremonger." Called his name. Called the woman's name. Everybody heard about it. You think I'm tough? I haven't ground up a gold calf and asked you to drink it. I've not called your name out, you fornicator. I've not done that. Mark chapter 6, verse number 25 says, "And she came in straightway with haste unto the king," that's King Herod, "and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." Here's what happened. John the Baptist got up and he split his britches on his pulpit. He preached about this whoremonger sleeping with his brother's wife, threw an ever-loving fit about it. Next thing you know, his Herod's whore asks that John's head be cut off. She said, "I want you to cut that preacher's head off. I want you to put his head on a platter like a Thanksgiving Day turkey." And henpecked Herod did it. Cut the preacher's head off. Because the preacher said, you ought not be sleeping with people you're not married to. When's the last time you heard somebody say that on television? You can't stay on TV and preach the truth like that, can you? Would they let John the Baptist on TV? The Trinity Broadcasting Network, would they let Moses on there? When he ground down the gold and said, "Drink it, sucker." Can't let somebody like that on TV. Don't worry, folks. We won't be going on TV anytime soon. Hey, threw a fit. Somebody needs to throw a fit. There are some preachers that need to start throwing some fits in their pulpit again. Boy, we have become so passive in our churches. Indeed, we're to love people, and we do around here. Unless I be misunderstood, if you're a guest here tonight, you need to come and get the whole package. You need to come and see. You need to come and see the thousands of people that are saved in this church. You need to come and see. Hey, you walk out of here saying, that man's mean. He doesn't love people. Hey, pray tell me. You show me a church in America that has virtually 70% of their people come back on Sunday night. You show me a church in America that fills its doors from wall to wall. We're full. You don't draw people like that if you don't love and help people. But one of the things we do to help people around here is we preach the truth. This is an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher. I'm not a Protestant. I'm a Baptist. That's what I am. It says it down there on the sign, and I think you know that. But somebody needs to throw a fit. Somebody needs to throw a fit. Somebody needs to throw a fit like they did about sodomy. Back in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God threw a fit about sodomy, God Himself threw the fit. Sodomy is becoming socially acceptable today. At one time it was a sin, now it's an alternative lifestyle. Do you know that they now have, in certain parts of our country, they have gay and lesbian TV channels? I mean, just like the sports channel. Just like the fishing channel. Gay and lesbian sports channels. What happened to America? And I don't blame Hollywood. I blame the churches of America. Because preachers are afraid to throw a fit. Some preachers need to stand in their pulpit, get some manhood about them. Hey, they need to get their tail out from between their legs and throw an ever-loving fit about the sin of our country. The sin of our country. Sodomy, TV, entertainment. You can give it on your stations. The show's on your stations. Show called Ryan's Life. About a gay teenager or gay teenagers, when they turn 18, they come out of the closet. You better watch what you let your kids watch. A show called Noah's Ark. About four African-American gay men from Los Angeles. The show called Nip and Tuck is one of the filthiest shows on television. Some of you watch it. You're not going to have revival in America unless you have it in the church. You're not going to have it in the church because you have it in your heart. Nip and Tuck, they had an episode about a lesbian anesthesiologist. Oh boy. How about Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, where five queer men set out to change the straight man and make him a little softer? I don't want to be softer. I don't want to walk like a woman. I don't want to talk like a woman. I don't fight like a woman. And you might want to check up on that before you tangle with me. What's wrong with us? Somebody needs to throw a fit about the sodomy in America today. I'd like to see Joel Osteen get up and preach what I'm preaching. He wouldn't. He wouldn't, and you know he wouldn't. You say, I don't like that. It's the truth, and you know it. The A&E Network has a show called Wedding Wars. It's about gay marriages. What are they doing? They're softening America's opinion about the queers. I don't think anybody here ought to do anything to hurt a queer, but the queers are hurting America, and the queers are hurting Jesus Christ, and the queers are going to hurt our family, and I'm telling you, I'm against it. It was a sin in Jesus' day, and it's a sin today. It was a sin in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's a sin today. You say, well, there are some people who will not come to your church if you're against it. That's their choice. I don't have any choice but to preach the truth. Lifetime TV had a show called A Girl Like Me. It was a show about a transgender girl who she ended up through life. She got in, had all sorts of problems because she was a girl with boys' parts on her body. That's the kind of trash that's on TV today. That's the kind of trash that goes on our big televisions with all of our channels. Somebody needs to throw a fit about sodomy today, like God did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, if right this moment you're saying, what have we gotten ourselves into, you probably ought to slip out now. Because I start where we all agree and then go to where we don't. It's called a crescendo in music. It's real soft right now. Somebody needs to throw a fit. Somebody needs to stand up and be counted. I've got this ever-loving hunch when John the Baptist said, you are a whoremonger, you're sleeping with your brother's sister, and you are in trouble with God. I'm going to guess he ruffled some feathers enough to get his head cut off. They whacked his head off. Somebody needs to throw a fit. Somebody needs to throw a fit about how today's religion is no longer holy. Like Jesus did, using a whip to drive the false religious thieves out of the church. He was upset that the church was not holy. He was upset that the church had lowered itself to just becoming a social meeting and people there just doing their own thing. They weren't interested in holiness. They were interested in self-promotion and they were interested in self. And Jesus drove them out of the temple. When I first moved here, I was given a newspaper article about a local church that had had a church activity at Hooters. It'd be a cold day in hell before this church will support anything like that. You shouldn't be going there. You say, why? Don't ask stupid questions. You're not intelligent. Don't open your mouth and let us see you don't have a brain behind your tongue. You know better. And so do I. Churches with rock music in their churches. And I'm not talking about some teen activity with rock music. I'm talking about churches with rock bands. And just because they put religious words to it doesn't make it right. It does not make it right. This is not a rock and roll church. I'll guarantee it. And the people that are here before I got here, you knew that because Dr. Don Smith hates rock and roll. Whether they call it Christian rock or not. Churches who cancel church services because it's Christmas Day. Now, we had church here on Christmas Day. We're not going to cancel Jesus' birthday party because it happened to fall on Sunday. We celebrated His birth. You know what some liberal idiot here in town said about me? Some pastor that wears lace on his underclothes. He said, that guy down there at Shenandoah, he's not family-oriented. Well, we happen to be a part of the family of God. And when our Father has a birthday, we celebrate it at His house. Not family-oriented. So-called Christian schools having dances. Raising money with kissing booths in our area. Better take the word Christian off there and put the word private on. Yeah. Martinsburg Christian Academy is a Christian school. It's a Baptist Christian school. Baptist preacher recently said, I feel the Pope is a great man. The Pope is a heretic. The Pope is a heretic. Now we're wanting to replace preaching with drama. It's like going to the theater at church. Then, if we can't draw a crowd with the Holy Spirit of God, we'll start bringing in the world's personalities to draw a crowd. We'll bring in worldly politicians or political stars. We'll bring in movie stars. We'll bring in wicked sports heroes to try to draw people to Christ. Whatever happened to drawing people to Christ on your knees through prayer? Whatever happened to drawing people to Christ because a preacher would get up, set himself afire in the pulpit, and people would come to watch him burn? What would ever happen to drawing a crowd because people are sick and tired of the liberalism of our day, and they say, I've got to find a church with a backbone? Whatever happened to drawing a crowd that way? People say, but the only way you preach, you'll never get any young people in your church. You better take a good look at the people that sang tonight. Clean cut, decent, moral young people. And I'll tell you something. I'd preach this way if I never got another young person in my church again. I don't do it to draw people. I do it because I am obligated to the God of the universe to preach that old black book without apology. Somebody needs to throw a fit. Somebody needs to throw a fit. Somebody needs to throw a fit about the sodomy of our day before it takes over our culture completely. Somebody needs to throw a fit about how today's religion is no longer holy.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to throw a fit. Somebody needs to throw a fit about those who mock the words of God's man and try to discredit them. Like the people of Paul's day, they were filled with envy and they attacked Paul. That's where Paul waxed bold. That's where Paul puffed up his chest. Paul said, I'm taking a stand. I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to be shut up. I will not be backed down. Thank God for some old leather-lung Baptist preachers through the centuries that didn't back down. They couldn't be shut down. They couldn't be watered down. They decided what they believed, and they believed what they decided. And they didn't change with the days and in the way that, you know, what the world's doing. This isn't the world. This is the church. Thank God somebody needs to throw a fit about those that mock the words of the man of God and mock the preaching of the man of God. They spake against Paul that day. They contradicted him that day. They said he was not even of God. I seen Mrs. Linton back there. Miss Linton, I'm going to tell a story about you. You say, you worry? You don't have to worry about Mrs. Linton. She can take care of herself. Matter of fact, if you're a big man and you're mad at me at the end of the night, Miss Linton take care of you, buddy. Mrs. Linton listened to a sermon that I preached some time ago. It might have been when Mrs. Linton was near death and unable to be at church. I had preached a sermon and she'd gotten a copy of it and listened to it on CD from probably a year and a half ago. She finally listened to it recently. In it, I make a statement while I'm preaching. And I say this, probably everybody in this church has criticized me for something at one time or another. Mrs. Linton stopped me out here in the hallway this morning. She said, Preacher, I listened to a sermon. And in that sermon, you said that you thought everybody in this church had criticized you for something at one time or another. She said, she stuck her finger in my face. She said, you listen to me. I have never criticized a thing that you have said or done. She said, and I have no plan to start. I don't want to hear it. And she walked away. Give me some of that mountain grit. God didn't make you into a fighter so you could fight against God. God made you into a fighter so you could fight for God. Oh, thank God. Hey, if you don't like what's preached around here, that's fine. That's fine. But don't slither around like a slimy snake and speak and try to discredit the preaching of the Word of God. Don't contradict what's preached around here. You say, what are you going to do about it? I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to let Mrs. Linton do it. She'd do it better than me anyhow. I was preaching at a meeting. Not as much as I used to, but I preached for years. I've preached to over 300,000 teenagers in my lifetime. I was preaching at a meeting. It was a great big youth conference. And I had driven to that conference, or I had a car for some reason. I arrived early, and I had some traveling clothes on. Now, most of the time I'd wear my suit and my tie, but for some reason I was dressed a little more casually. Well, when I arrived at the church, there's this long-haired, hippie-looking kid sitting out on the front steps of the church. I mean, he had long hair, all dressed in black. Everything that dangled on his body was pierced. I mean, this kid, he was wild. Tattoos. He didn't even speak our language. He thought my name was Dude. I'm getting ready to go in the church. I was going to put my book table out and things. And this kid was sitting there. I said, how you doing? He said, doing fine, dude. I said, what's happening? He said, I'm here tonight. I want to hear a fundamentalist. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, what's going to happen? He said, this dude named Jay Owens is going to be here. I said, he is. I said, what do you know about him? Well, he's a fundamentalist. I said, is that right? He's going to be here tonight. What have you heard about him? Oh, I don't know. The creeps say he's awesome. I said, is that right? Do you believe the creeps? He said, ain't no way. Ain't no way. He said, dude, I got to go, dude. I'll be back later on. Catch my drift. I said, I'm catching it. Well, dude went on in, and I set my books up, went to my hotel room, changed my clothes. Now, when you got an ugly face like mine, it really don't matter what you wear. Everybody recognizes you. Boy, the buses started pulling in, people coming from everywhere. I was in a back room where I was praying and preparing for the night. When we finally walked out on the platform, they were all going crazy and cheering and excited. I looked all the way in the back, and there was a section of guys dressed in black, piercings, tattoos all over their body. And I walked in, I looked back, and I seen one guy dressed in black. His eyes were as big as watermelons. He looked up at me and said, "Dude," and gave me the peace sign. Oh, yeah. You know something? That boy, I preached that night, and I preached the truth. I didn't water it down. I loved him, but I preached the truth to him. That night, the invitation was given, and that young man came forward, and he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He came to me after the service, and he said, "Dude, man, you get with it." He said, "Man, I heard some of these reverends in there. There's something wrong with them." He said, "I'd like to be like you. If I was going to be a dude reverend, I'd be one to do it like you do it." I said, "Dude, I'm proud to be associated with you, dude. We high five. I got me a tattoo." "I can't show it to you, dude." Hey, honestly, truly, somebody needs to throw a fit. Somebody needs to throw a fit about the sodomy in our country. Somebody needs to throw a fit about how today's religion is no longer holy. It's no longer coming from the old-fashioned roots of purity. Somebody needs to throw a fit about those that mock the Word of God and mock the man of God, and they try to contradict His preaching. Somebody needs to throw a fit about the immorality of our day, even the immorality of our churches, like John the Baptist did. Hey, John the Baptist just stood up and said, "Buddy, you're sleeping with a whore and it's wrong." I don't know that John was trying to be offensive, but John was straightforward, and there was no need of exegesis of the Scripture. It was pretty well described in layman's terms. None of us, we don't need to say it in such a way that nobody can figure it out. We need to say it so they understand. People sleep around like a bunch of animals on a farm today. Women dressing seductively. Sears and Roebuck catalog has been replaced by Victoria's Secret. 2006, the income for Victoria's Secret was $258 million. Now you can watch Victoria's Secret fashion show. 1.5 million viewers for their very first show. You used to pay 25 cents at the porno shop to get it. Now you can just get it on your TV, huh? Hooters Restaurant, they call it a neighborhood place. A neighborhood place. Their website says that 10% of their money is made off of children's meals. They say, I quote, "Our restaurant is just as acceptable as the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders and the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition." And I agree. I agree. None of those are acceptable. It's all filth. Howard Stern, long-haired hippie freak. Pervert, weirdo, destroyer of America. Look, Stern, Imus is an angel compared to Stern. Who would kick somebody off the air? There would have been a day in America they would have put a guy like Stern in jail. Desperate Housewives. Some of you watch this trash. Desperate Housewives, their website said this, "Our show's intent is to redefine the terms living happily ever after. As all the whores on the show sleep around with everybody and their brother. It is the fourth most watched show in the United States of America. Season number one, 2.4 million viewers watch the Desperate Housewives do their perversion. And we wonder why divorce is on the upswing. We wonder why AIDS is on the upswing. We wonder why rape is on the upswing. We wonder all that, but just look at the garbage we allow in our homes. Look at the garbage we allow on television. Hey, and if the conservative part of America would just rise up, some of that could be changed. I know that because Billy Sunday in his day preached to the point where they shut the liquor stores down. But he threw a fit about it. He threw a fit about it. Somebody needs to throw a fit about the immorality of our day, even in our churches. Somebody needs to throw a fit about how worldly and backslidden God's people have become. Now we're getting closer to the crescendo. If you think this has been a sweet chorus, we're going to get to the verses now. Somebody needs to throw a fit about how worldly and backslidden God's people have become. Hey, like Moses did. Moses was on the mount. He was there receiving the tablets of the Ten Commandments. While there, Aaron wasn't a strong enough assistant pastor to live right. Moses left Aaron alone with the people, and the people influenced Aaron. Aaron was supposed to influence the people. I watch preachers go to churches and let the churches change the preacher. That's not supposed to happen. Preachers are to lead God's people to live holy. He's to love them, but lead them. And every once in a while, a preacher's got to get up and throw a fit. Throw a fit. Why? If he loves the people, he'll do it. If he loves his country, he'll do it. Moses threw a fit. All the way to the point that Moses took the tablets on which the Ten Commandments were printed and he threw them on the ground. The Bible says they shattered. Moses got with it. I don't picture Moses very passively saying, "Brethren, God sent me to you today. Please, pretty please with butter on it. Don't be bad boys and girls." I don't think that's the way it was for Moses. You take a good shot at what this guy's like. He was a tough old bird. He had backbone. He had grit. He lived on the backside of the desert. He was tough. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't a sissy britches. Not at all. Oh, Moses. Moses threw those tablets down and he threw a fit. He said, "Get right with God. Stop living like that." Hey, what kind of books you let your kids read? Are you Harry Potter fans? Over 1 million Harry Potter books sold in America. It's all about witchcraft and evil and promotes Satanism. Second in sales only to the Word of God. Am I shocked? The lightning bolt that is placed on Harry's forehead is the same that was used by Hitler. You can take a Harry Potter book to the public school. They can talk about it in the public school. But to get the old black book out, you're liable to end up in court. Daniel Radcliffe, that's Harry Potter. February of 2007, he performed a show called Equus, I think it is. He performed it totally naked. Harry Potter is porno now. Naked, no clothes on. And we let our kids read his stuff. We better wake up. Say, it's just entertainment. You've got that right, baby. It's entertainment. Satanic entertainment. You let your kids make a hero out of a pervert. The video games of today are ridiculous. It's out of hand. Parents, it's out of hand. It's out of hand. And our school can't fix it all, and our youth department can't fix it all. We're going to have some parents rise up and say, "I'll rear my kids. You want me to take a stand? How about you, Dad? Get your backbone about you." Well, my 9-year-old wants to play it. Wake up! Wake up! And I'm not talking about being abusive. I'm talking about getting some grit in your crawl, boy. My kids didn't tell me what they were going to do at my house. I was the dad. It was a God-given assignment. The video games of today are ridiculous. They now must be rated. C for childhood. E for everyone. E plus 10. You should be over 10 to play this. T for teens 13 and up. M for mature audiences, 17 and up. A for adults only. You must be 18. You know, some of you, you have never looked at the ratings of the things that your kids are playing as games. They now have video games that must be rated for adults only. And I'll guarantee you, some of your kids have some of these that say they're only for adults. And I'll tell you something else. I'd be careful trusting the world's ratings. They also say sodomy's okay. They also say sex out of wedlock is okay. They also say it's okay for a teeny bopper to get her an abortion and not tell mommy and daddy. That's what they say. So you say, well, I'll go by their ratings. You better go by God's ratings. Somebody needs to throw a fit. Somebody needs to throw a fit. Ratings. You say, what are the ratings for? I'll tell you what they're for. If I had the time, I could read you the roll, but the truth of the matter is, the ratings are for drugs. It's all included in the ratings. I have a copy of it in my office. All these ratings have to do with how much drugs are in it, how much sex is in it, how much alcohol is in it, how much violence is in it, how much cursing is in it, how much nudity is in it, how much gambling is in it, and how much sex violence is in it. You want to know why we got pervert rapists everywhere? Because we got our kids playing video games at 5 and 6 and 7 years old. They kill people. They're rude to people. They're watching people have sex in a game, and mom and dad are oblivious. Oblivious. The television of our day. You put a television in your kid's room and let them watch anything they want. Some of you making a mistake? Hey, just the cartoon called Family Guy. A sick, twisted family called the Griffins. They have a sadistic baby who is bent on killing his mother and destroying the world. But it's a cartoon. Cartoons can be wicked also. Medium, the occult woman. I tried to watch a portion of that show one time at a hotel room. It gave me the creeps. It suppressed my spirit so much. I said, I am risking the Spirit of God in my life watching that. And that's one reason why you don't have the Spirit of God in your life. You watch demonic stuff. Hey, you're going to suppress the Spirit of God in your life. You say, I don't like what you're saying. I don't like your living. Somebody needs to throw a fit. Somebody needs to throw a fit. Then we've got the show called Charmed. That's your sex symbol, witch, teeny bopper show. They watch it for two reasons. They watch it because those girls are just put in there as sex symbols. And then the Satanism that's in it. I happen to be one that still believes that witches are of the devil. Sorcery is of the devil. Witchcraft is of the devil. The rock music of our day. Groups like Disturbed. Some of you, if you check, if you had the guts to check your kids' music, and don't just check what they hand you. That's not where they're storing it, Mama. Some of them have them recorded. Hey, there's some of your kids, they've got music recorded on cassette tapes of Brother Owens preaching, but they got their bad music tucked in there. And don't look at me cross-eyed like at you, rebel boy. Rock groups like Disturbed. You wonder why your kids are so disturbed. Papa Roach. You know what a roach is? We're not talking about bugs, dumb bunny. Talk about a roach clip. That goes along with a little weed, marijuana, dope. This group called Godsmack. You say, that's just God. They're Antichrist group. Lamb of God. They're as wicked as the devil. Linkin Park, Incubus. A group called Tool. They have a song called The Pot. Listen to these words, as soon as I can see these words. It says, the song The Pot, from the group called Tool, it says, foot in mouth, head up your anus, a cuss word. I replaced it. What you talking about? Difficult to dance around this one till you pull it out? Oh boy. You must have been so high. You must have been so high. Seal, Morrow, some reefer. Some of you kids are listening to that. I'll tell you something. If they're listening to that kind of trash, now you know why they're rebelling. Now you know why. They got it put on their computers. They don't have to have a CD of it. They've got it on their cell phone. They've got it on their iPod. It's there. I don't know how to say the name of it. It's called Evanson. But if I say it, okay. Even Since, maybe. Name of their hit song right now is called "Call Me When You're Sober." And the rappers are wicked as ever, and your country music stars are no better. Randy Travis, the song called "Before You Kill Us All," Confederate Railroad, Mark the Cheese Nut, I think it's Chestnut. Christian rock groups, which is just nothing but a bunch of deception. Petra, Swiftfoot, part of the lukewarm religion of this day that makes God want to puke. Well, I'll tell you something. Just check on the kids that are rebels in our school. See what kind of music they listen to. You'll figure out the ones that are in trouble all the time. You figure out the ones that reject Brother Owens, reject Brother Bush, reject what goes on around here. There are not many, but they are there. They want to quit our school. Why? Well, we're dealing with rebel music, rebel video games. Hey, parents, help your teenagers. Hang on, we're not done yet. The crescendo is coming. Parents, help your teenagers. Help them for their own good. The cell phone thing is out of hand. They text message things that they shouldn't be. And they think it's okay because they didn't say it with their mouth, but they're saying it in their text messaging. At night, your daughter's laying at home in her bed, texting her boyfriend while she's in her nightgown. Is that a little too honest? Do you want to know? The photo messaging device on their phones. You know what they're taking pictures of and sending to each other? Use your imagination. And then quickly stop because it's evil. Young people, your preacher might have gray hair, but he ain't dead. Do you know that your kids can get anything on the internet with their phone that you can get off of a computer? Computers now hook up to the internet. I'm sorry, the cell phones now hook up to the internet. Right, Brother Young?
Yes. Come on.
Some of your kids are locking into the internet with their cell phone. You know what they're getting? Most cell phone companies will help you shut that trash down and lock it off so they can't do that. So, I'm not telling you your kid can't have a cell phone. Now, I made it through my teenage years without one. Shit, but the whole ones, but they, sometimes they get as much as 30 miles away from me. I travel the world. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles. And I got my cell phone last December. There's no wonder I am so corrupt and behind in times. I waited till I was 46 to get one to be a success. So they should have told me I had to have one. I'm not telling you they have to get rid of it. I'm telling you, you better control it. Your trouble-making teenagers are the same ones over and over again. Over and over again. Handful of bitter girls, rebellious boys, can't decide whether they want to serve God or not. Don't blame us. Get it together. Get it together. And now it's naked season again. Let's strip down, get in our underwear and go to the beaches. Put our halter tops on and our shorts. Let's show our bosom if we can. Some of you ladies need to start dressing like a woman. Put your britches away. Some of you men need to stop wearing your earrings. Somebody needs to throw a fit. Somebody needs to throw a fit. If you're here tonight, you say, I'm hurt by what you've said. The intent was not to hurt. The intent is to help our country, to help our churches, to help our young people. And before you pass judgment upon me, maybe you ought to come around and hear the preaching that goes on in this place. And see the kind of people that we help in this place. Hey, and before you get mad, why don't you look back at Christianity 100 years ago and see that all the preachers that had a back row preach like this. They stopped throwing fits. Check. Check. Even on TV, they used to require the women to dress right. On television. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 4 says, And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. You check in the Bible. Every once in a while, the men of God just threw a fit. Because there are some things that are worth throwing a fit about. Or about which are worth throwing a fit. Period. Somebody needs to throw a fit. A fit. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.